Right. You listening? Good. I'm tired. I'm not singing. I'm getting straight into this podcast. It's the Noise Cancelling Podcast, and it's episode 69.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Oh, dear. I don't understand what's happening. Why is everyone being rude?
No reason. No reason at all.
Good. I don't want any of that kind of thoughts or smut on this podcast. It is the Noise Cancelling Podcast. It is where we talk about things that are vaguely technical in nature. We try and sound authoritative, fail, and then just tell you that we're very sorry and leave it there. It takes about an hour to get around to that, give or take. So bed in. It's going to be fun. Who's here with me?
I am Cherie L. Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Mark Anthony Ramirez, freelance writer for Laptop Mag. Don't mind me.
You sure? Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to do that again, Mark?
No, it's okay.
Okay, good.
Hi, I'm Mark Wilson. I am cameras editor on Tech Radar.
And I am Gareth Thomas Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. I know where I work, unlike some people. That's well done.
We've already started, have we, Gareth?
Okay. We never left from the last one. I don't know how many podcasts ago were you on?
Just this is the second one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember how many weeks since we last had our hilarious verbal intercourse last time.
I
so
about six. I mean, I don't even know why it's taken 6 weeks to have me back, but that's another conversation.
I mean, you're lucky it's just six, let's be honest. Right, so we are talking about the world of snapping, cameras, photography, all the beautiful things, as you can imagine by the people that are appearing on today's podcast. That's the reason. But first of all, the big question. Now, this week, we've actually got three big questions, and I'm just going to ask Cherie all of them and see which one she answers to tell us what we're going to be doing. So, Cherie, out of these three, what's the one picture you most regret sending? What's the worst game you've ever played? And what's the best use of a camera in a game?
Wait, what was the third one?
What's the best use of a camera in a game? Which I did not remember someone putting down on the list. It's a shit question.
Yeah, so I don't send bad pictures because those come back to bite you in the ass. So yeah, I'll do those. And the worst game I've ever played is Leisure Suit Larry. Not because of the mechanics, just because of the subject matter of the game. I'm trying to get laid in my own life. I don't feel I have to help. I should have to help Larry fumble his way into some poor, unsuspecting woman's bed. So I that will always be my worst game ever.
I don't even know what that game is.
Leisure Suit Larry is a very old game, and they've reincarnated it for our time, for the millennials. So now it is Leisure Larry Wet Dream, Leisure Suit Larry Wet Dreams, and it's a shit show.
Okay, let's move on. Mark Anthony Ramirez, what about you?
Leisure Suit Larry was a flashback. Wow, I remember that. That was awful. I actually got him laid. So that might be the worst game ever because I could get him laid. I couldn't get myself. Let me see. What's the one picture you most regret sending? This is kind of hilarious. Someone used my phone that I was dating and took a picture of me in the flesh. And then at the time when Twitter had first come out, my phone was connected to it and it automatically uploaded photos to my Twitter. So that photo made it to Twitter. So that is definitely the worst picture because though some people were very nice, a lot of people were like, what the hell? And I got banned from Twitter for like a week. Best use of a camera in a game? In a game? I don't know. I don't. Maybe whenever I'm playing, I don't know. I really don't have an answer for that, for the best use of a camera in a game. I don't remember playing a photography game, but maybe they should come up with one called Creepy.
I mean, that could apply to both your answers, really.
Pretty much.
I mean, Twitter had an auto upload function.
Back then, yeah, it was just, I had it connected that way. So it was an embarrassing thing. And it was up there for a while because nobody noticed it until said girlfriend went to my Twitter stalking me and was like, by the way, that picture I took is up on your Twitter. And I was like, what picture? And she was like, that picture. And I was like,
that's wild. I don't take them type of pictures. Like, you want to see it, you come see it in person, bro.
Yeah. Although I did gain followers, so I guess it was still looking kind of good back then. That was before the belly. You know, I probably still had a little ab shadow left, you know.
Mark Wilson, what about you?
That is my worst fear, I think. So I don't, it's not actually ever happened to me. I think the Gmail undo send function has helped me out on many occasions where I've sent something I've regretted and managed to quickly claw it back. But that's a good Twitter tip from Mark, actually. I'll, I might use that one for getting new followers. But, I think, so worst game I've ever played. There's only one game that's ever made me cry because it was so bad, and that was Outrun on the Amstrad. It was
wow.
It was a port of the arcade game, and back then, obviously, there's a massive difference between arcades and the home versions, but even accounting for that, it was so bad. It was like running at one frame a second. I shed a few tears over that one. Yeah, and camera in the game. The only one I can really remember is Metal Gear Solid. I think there was a camera mode in that, and you could photograph ghosts.
Because you had to do it to, that was Snake Eater, because you had to do it to see the sorrow.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, and I think the ghosts were the developers. They managed to sneak themselves in.
I have never understood cameras in games, like camera mode. You can go and take pictures. I'm like, that doesn't enhance my experience in any way whatsoever. Like, I struggle doing it in real life, let alone fake world. For me, the worst game I ever played was Operation Wolf on the Nintendo, because that was the days when I've always had the opinion that computer games are better than me. Like, someone spent the time to go out and make these games and do the effort and create these magical worlds. If it's not good, I've done something wrong. That game confused me the most because it was cheap. And I was like, brilliant, I can get a new Nintendo game, when I was really young, for much less money than normal. And it said it was the number one arcade game in the world. And I was like, it's the number one game in the world. This is going so amazing. And it was really shit on the Nintendo, because you had to use the D-pads to try and shoot things. It didn't work very well. I was like, but games are supposed to be good. And I can't see why this is meant to be good, because it's rubbish. But what am I doing wrong? And it just led to a lot of self-reflection. I don't think it's ever left me. And that notion that there's a bad game out there now is just gone completely, because they're so epic and so cinematic in their detail that I'm like, surely no one can get one of these wrong. So therefore, all games that are bad are my fault. So I agree with that since. I've never sent a bad picture at the time and regretted it. But I look back and there was a girl I met at a club once who... We agreed to meet the next day, and she said, can you send me a picture of you, which clearly meant she'd forgotten. I sent a picture of me asleep and thinking it was cute, but I was like, in hindsight, it didn't solve the problem and it was weird. So yeah, she was nodding and shaking her head at the incorrect point.
I'm confused.
I mean, I haven't got any more information for you other than just like, oh, that's cute. No. Just
did you just get
sense.
Home from the pub or something? Like, was there?
No, I was looking through my phone for pictures, and I'd taken a picture previously of wondering what it looked like asleep. And I was like, that'll do, it's quirky.
And you never heard from her again, correct?
No, I did see her the next night, but it didn't go very well. I mean, that was the myriad reasons why that had happened, not just the picture. So I'm just lucky anyone talks to me, if I'm honest. That's how I looked at it.
All right.
Yeah.
Episode 69, yeah, okay. Indeed. All right.
I can't give points out to this one because I have no idea which question we just answered. So let's just move straight into the Gadget Hall of Fame with Mark Ramirez. And Mark Wilson, are you also offering something up?
I haven't thought of anything. I haven't thought of anything, but I can think of it.
You are going to. So Mark,
okay.
Sorry, just for the listeners who don't remember it, this is the hangar. That's basically the equivalent of the Ark of the Covenant housing, but without any stuff in it. So, you know, the really early days when they're putting shit in there, and there's a skip in the corner. If your stuff's rubbish, it'll go in that garbage roll itself. So what you got for me? Sorry, carry on.
Oh, wow. That was a lot for that. The BlackBerry Bold 9000.
It's in straight away. No problems. Done.
Really?
Man, you know what, though? And because this is a camera episode, it was the first phone that I had that had a decent camera, 2 megapixels. Can you believe it? And that you could shoot some video and send them out, even though it would take a while because our networks were crap. But the BlackBerry Bold 2000 was a sexy, sleek, QWERTY keyboard-having phone. And it allowed me to take photos of myself that ended up on Twitter.
That's the dream. I like the connectivity here. The BlackBerry Bold 9000 was a brilliant phone. It had such good build quality. It was popular. It was keyboard was great. I mean, Cherie disagrees with me completely, apparently.
I was deep into Palm Pilots then, and from there I went to Android, and I just couldn't get into the BBM thing. Everybody, BlackBerry, I don't know.
And the Palm Pilot is perfect for episode 69.
Nah.
Oh dear.
Oh, you thought we were going to handle this as mature adults?
Come on, it's a play on words.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's not relevant, but anyway. Mark Wilson, what was your first gadget ever?
My first gadget ever. Oh, it's just changed.
I'm just gadget. Given the fact you're not ready, I'm just like, I'm going to really push you.
I'm going to say, I think it was probably the Sega Mega Drive was my first, if that counts as a gadget. I think,
yeah,
that was the most memorable by mile. So, yeah, that was my first gadget. But I was going to try and pitch the Nokia N80 for the Hall of Fame, because it's on the photography theme again. It was an amazing camera phone, 3 megapixels. Yeah, and I was obsessed with that for a little while before the iPhone came along.
Sell it a bit more for me. Why was it so good?
Well, it had quite a cool slider mechanism. I think it shot VGA video or something, yeah, which at the time was amazing that you can actually shoot VGA video on your phone. Yeah, and it was the best phone in the world at the time, I'm pretty sure. At least that's how I remember it.
Yeah, well, it was out in 2005, I think. I think I'm looking at the stats right now. I shouldn't be a liar. Pretend not. I was going to say, I think it was out in 2005, around November the 2nd, and I think it had a 3.1 megapixel camera that interpolated from 2 megapixels and a built-in flash. But those things were all true. That was a very good phone. I remember that. It was, it had the front-facing, quite large camera, so it felt like you were doing something proper. But you could, I don't know if you ever used it. Do you ever use the Nokia N93, which was like a handy cam in a flip phone that had DVD recording quality on it?
To be fair, that was much cooler looking phone. Yeah, that was a bit of a crazy phone. But
we've got a box fresh one in the office here. Still pop out once in a while and be like, oh yeah, this is big, but it is good. Okay. Sheree, you got three choices there. The Sega Mega Drive, or what you would know as the Genesis, the Nokia N80, or the BlackBerry Bold 9000. Which one's going into which receptacle?
I mean, they're all in. Why must we toss any of these into the garbage? They are equally good, although I am not fond of BlackBerry, and I can't say that it wasn't relevant. It was BlackBerry used to be a big old thing until it wasn't. So I'm not going to throw any of these in the trash.
Sheree's in a good mood this week. This is the right time to get stuff done.
Obama carried a BlackBerry until they forced him not to. Obama would not let go of his BlackBerry. He wanted to bring that into the Oval Office. They were like, get that trash out.
Rightfully so. But
how can they not make them? I mean, BlackBerry, the whole thing was about security. How can they not make that secure enough to use?
I have no idea. I think that's because Apple at the time had taken over as far as high level of security as he entered office.
Yeah.
So they were doing the Apple thing, which is rude. It's BlackBerry.
But he did get to keep hold of it, didn't he, I think?
I think he did for a while, yeah.
So his spokesman said the president has a BlackBerry through a compromise that allows him to stay in touch with senior staff and a small group of personal friends in a way that use will be limited and the security is enhanced to ensure his ability to communicate. Wow. So if you found that number, you could have basically had a direct line to Obama himself. There you go.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah, there you go. He said, they're going to have to pry it out of my hands. There you are. Good to know that BlackBerry really was alive and kicking back in the 2009s of this world. Right, on to the meat and potatoes of this podcast, which is, well, what's going on? It's all about cameras. So we have Mark Wilson, we have Mark Anthony Ramirez, we have Sheree L. Smith, all people who are either in charge of or write beautifully about cameras on their respective sites. So, Mark Wilson, start us off. The first camera that you ever had was the Panasonic
GF1. That was my first camera.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it was. I reckon it was around the last sort of golden age of cameras when they were really exciting, the sort of late 2000s.
Why?
Because it was really the time when they were actually inventing new form factors, and the Panasonic GF1 had a DSLR size sensor in a compact camera body, so that was quite revolutionary at the time, even if today that's fairly common. But so it was that was an exciting camera, and it lasted me a little longer than I'd planned, because I got an Olympus EB3 quite soon after that. I won it in a competition, which was nice, and then proceeded to drop it on a concrete floor.
Oh no!
In my first trip, so the GF1 continued for a while after that.
Oh mate, I'm gutted. I'm really gutted for you.
Thanks. Yeah, like, just dredging up those memories again. But yeah.
What was it about it that did that change your relationship with photography? Did it make the world a better place for you, or was it just a case of like you could, you know, wear beret with, you know, real aplomb?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was like the first time I started editing photos properly, doing in RAW, and yeah, the fact it was so small, you could almost put it in your pocket, but not quite. But yeah, it was the first kind of like serious travel camera really I had, so that was pretty cool.
And Mark Anthony Ramirez, what about you? What was your first camera? How happy did it make you? What's good about them?
Oh, time to show my age. I got a hand-me-down Canon. It's a Canon film camera. It's an AE-1. It was a very popular sports camera by Canon. It came with a 55mm FD lens. It was fantastic. My brother used to work in a photography shop, and they gave him one as a gift when they came out, and he was like really thrilled. He had it for a long time. Then he ran off to the military, and it was left in the house, and he was like, oh, yeah, you can use it. And that's when my love of photography began. So, yeah, I was using that. I just, the only thing that the big difference for me now in comparison to then is that I really like now using digital, and, you know, nobody else gets to look at my photos but me. You know, again, hearkening back to the first question of today, like, you know, bad pictures you may take, because man, sometimes you take a awful photo with film and you drop it off to some guy named Marty, and then all of a sudden Marty's going through your pictures like, oh, I see what you did this weekend. You're like, you know what, shut up Marty and all your judginess, because I didn't have the stuff to develop film in my little apartment. But yep, the Canon AE-1, it was great, man. It was a great camera, it was fast, it 35mm, you know, so it was really nice.
I hate Marty, I'm with you. But absolutely, that notion of people being able to see your photos is still crazy. Like, you know, and if there's ever a photo that's slightly risque, it come with a sticker on it saying inappropriate photo.
Oh yeah, and it's weird because they did a whole Robin Williams movie about it where he worked in a development lab. Yeah. And it was like he was a creep. That's basically that was my nightmare, that character would be getting my film. You know, yeah. And be like, oh, I love the pictures of you and your girlfriend this weekend on your camping trip. You know, is that kind of creep.
I mean, Sheree, is that you missing those days or agreeing that they're bad? I'm trying to interpret that sound.
Yeah, I'm not with the creep. Like, no, I don't like it.
But I agree with that. But do you not think we've lost something with digital cameras now, camera phones, I was going to say, but digital cameras, where there was like a hoopla around getting photos developed. You could pay a bit more, have them done in 24 hours. Later on, in an hour, you know, but before it was like you took photos, they're part of the holiday or whatever your situation was, you got the camera specially, they came back 3 days later. There was just so much more circumstance and pomp around it that, I don't know, I've maybe just been very much old man Gareth, but that kind of immediacy, that immediacy is here now, and it's just kind of lost something.
The only thing I think is lost on that, I'm not a photographer, but there is something magical about the dark room. I did a little bit of an intro to photography class, and I was definitely into like the developer and doing all that. Like, there's something special about that I think is lost for a lot of younger photographers as we go more and more into digital. But as a consumer and who has been trained up on instant gratification, I want my photos right there, right now. I want to be able to see, oh, you closed your eyes. Oh, you did this. Oh, I want to be able to get that perfect picture, and digital allows for that immediacy.
Yeah, maybe you should start an app, Gareth, where you take the photos, but you don't get to see them. And then 2 weeks later, they're sent to you in the post. I mean, that would be, you're combining the benefits of smartphone photography and then in print for you. I mean, you might be the only person who used it. But.
By the way, the name of that movie was One Hour Photo.
Oh, that Robin Williams film? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was creepy as hell.
Yeah, see? And that's the beauty of digital. You can, you know, do that. And also make yourself look cuter with filters nowadays. You know?
I don't do the filters. Like, if people are going to see you in real life. Like, just, like, it, like, promotes unrealistic beauty standards. Just be proud of who you are. Like, first of all, I have dimples that most people would kill for. So this smile is freaking amazing, as is this skin. So I don't shake your head. You know it's true, Mark. You know it's true, Ramirez. I prefer to go sans filter. I think that we're doing a little bit too much of the filtering, and to the point where Khloe Kardashian, God forbid, she like a photo was posted of her unfiltered, and it was just this uproar, and she had the media take it down. Like, just let it rock. Don't look like that in real life, boo. It's okay.
Yeah, but usually when a celebrity puts an unfiltered photo up, you know, they're called brave. If I do it, it's just, oh my God, who put this monster up on my Facebook? I like to use filters because I love that initial disappointment when people meet you for the first time in person and they're like, oh, you don't. You're like, yeah, I'm not as cute as you wanted me to be. See, I don't care about people's feelings about that. Guess what? I'm not that cute. Nobody is. Mind your neck.
All right. That went somewhere.
Gareth is way too quiet today. He's just way too quiet. I'm trying to ignite him, and he's just like, no, I'm going to let you pass through your little wormhole of psychosis.
Yeah, well, it's a new name for podcast.
I don't take selfies because I look stupid if I try and not smile or smile. So I've given up on that one because it just doesn't work. And you know what? I know what I look like, so I'm pretty happy with that. And the world doesn't need to see that. But we talked about camera phones briefly, and it's with, like Mark, you said, you know, sort of the late 2000s was the time when everything started to change. And it's interesting that that's the kind of point when the camera phones really started to get some momentum going. You know, the very, very, very early days of camera phones, don't remember how much people know/care around the it wasn't even a smartphone back then, but Samsung and Sharp it would have been South Korea and Japan, obviously, releasing two phones around the same time, the J phone and the SCH V200. Now, the second one, the V200 from Samsung, took a massive 0.35 megapixel picture. You could take 20 photos and store them on and see them on the 1.5 inch LCD display, but you had to hook up to a camera to get them off your phone. Now, in Japan, Sharp allowed you to send them to one another. It came out a bit later, but in fact, that was more of, like, you know, inverted commas, the real camera phone. And it was allowed to, that was all the way up at 0.11 megapixels. So beautiful stuff. You know, this is where we began. But I remember seeing someone had in at university the Nokia 7650, which was a lot like the one you said, Mark, about the N80, where it was a slide-up device. It was massive, really heavy, but it had a camera inside it. And that, to me, was just the most amazing thing. 0.3 megapixels. You could take a picture wherever you wanted. What world do we live in? It's the future.
Yeah. Do you remember the Sony Ericsson phone as well, where you plugged in an external camera into the top of it? And then
that's right.
It was like a T68 or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We've come so far. Thank God.
I had the Z800 flip phone from Sony Ericsson, which had a great camera, but it said no flash. And you could buy a plug in flash because the flip phone was angled, so it was like a banana, and the flash was at the bottom. It pointed the flash downwards rather than at the thing you're taking a picture of. So it basically uplighted things in a really disgusting and pointless way. So I'm really glad that I got slightly drunk and bought that from eBay at the last thing at night. So what an investment.
Strange, the Hall of Fame.
You know, exactly. Yeah, I should put that. Also, you could buy a Bluetooth remote control car, which I didn't buy, luckily, because it would have bankrupted me. But I still wish I had, because that's such a genius idea. Why do we not have Bluetooth remote control cars everywhere now? Everyone's got a phone. It should work.
Ones with cameras on them as well, yeah. Just driving it.
Yeah.
Car around.
Well, I mean, that is just drones, really, isn't it? But without wheels. Yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, I feel like now with smartphones and cameras, it's ruined photography for me, because it's just like take 20 photos of any situation and just hope that one of them's not shit, rather than like spending time crafting and getting the right shot. Like, it's now, how quickly can I get my phone out if I see something interesting and just like start snapping and hope that one of them was pretty good if I'm aiming in the general direction?
I disagree with that. Like, if you like,
you can't. That's what I do.
A lot of flagship phones and even some of the mid-tier phones, they do give you those pro controls. So if you do want to sit there and you know how to compose your shot, you can adjust the ISO, you can adjust the white balance, you can do all those things that you can do on a DSLR. It's just a smaller, more compact device. And as we go into smartphone camera phone technology, they're trying to reproduce the zoom. So they're like, you've got optical zoom and digital. They're trying to do all these things to make it as close to a DSLR as you can get. Because when you're making it, let's see. So my Note Ultra 20, that was $1,300. That's a camera.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the price of a camera. So, in a lot of cases, people have to make that choice. Are you going to spend on the phone? Are you going to spend on the camera? Like, I think that camera phone technology is trying to make a happy medium. I don't know if it's achieved it as yet, but I do think that the camera for a while, and I think it's still going on, there is a serious camera war going on between Apple, Google, and Samsung.
I would like to throw a OnePlus in on that war, because now they're using Hasselblad lenses, and Hasselblad, they're the people that NASA took to the moon to do all their photography. You know, that's the gear they use. So, I mean, camera phones are very interesting. And I think what happened was with camera makers, as soon as you had like social media become a thing and people wanting to post photos, they were like, well, we want to make it really instant and have people running around with cameras in their pocket. And the other thing is, cell phones are limited to a certain degree. Like, it's just like, you can call and you can text. You can call and you can text. So when bandwidth opened up and now you have the ability to video call or, you know, send photos, you know, I think users got really into the idea of like, well, I want to send a really good photo of myself and what I'm doing and what's going on and where I'm at. And that really pushed the whole need or the want for quality cameras. And, you know, you can really, there are some cameras now, I mean, some cell phones now, you got 3-4 lenses and each lens has a different job, or one lens piggybacks off the other and helps improve the quality. And, you know, now you have every camera now coming out has a wide angle lens, and then you have the ability to zoom to a certain degree. So, I mean, there are some, like, I have to say, iPhone cameras are amazing. You know, again, Samsung, you got OnePlus coming up now, and it's really amazing to see what people can do. I mean, you had a gentleman a couple of years ago who made a movie with an iPhone and got a 3-picture deal with one of the studios in Hollywood. So you can do it.
Yeah, I think the trouble for me is with smartphone cameras, no matter how good they get, I never really enjoy shooting with one. I mean, I think you can produce amazing quality with them, but I never really think I'm going to go out today and just take photos with my iPhone. Sure. It's just the form factor is not enjoyable. Right. And so they can pack as many features in as they can, but it doesn't solve the usability problem, that it's still a slab of glass.
Right.
And that's still a fundamental problem for me, but I think I'm probably in the minority for most people. You know, that's a great point and shoot camera.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, like a smartphone camera has become like the Canon PowerShot, you know, but it's in your pocket all the time. That's about it. Like, I'm a camera guy, so I love the feel of a real camera. I love the feel of, you know, having, a viewfinder and all of that, you know, just shooting like this all the time. It's fun. It's great. Mm-hmm. It comes in handy, but to me, like, you'll never get the quality that you can get out of, like, Canon 1DX Mark II or whatever, like a real, you know, sports camera or something, or a professional camera. So, I mean, it's great for the average person, but like, if you really want to do like straight up serious photography, then you have to shop for a real camera, whether it's a Nikon, a Canon, or one of those amazing cameras that, Sony makes. And if you want to do video, then you got to focus on a camera that can do video. So, I mean, yeah, you can shoot now 4K on your phone, but still you're not getting the same angles and you're not getting the same capability as you would with a handheld camera, you know, from one of the makers.
Is it easier to be a photographer now?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I mean, I think just making it easy to take photos doesn't mean it's easy to become a photographer. I think you still have to put the time into knowing how to take good photos. But it's the fact that there's one on some great cameras on most phones that you buy, even mid-range phones now, means it's just more accessible, definitely, I think.
But even in like the pro camera level where you're buying, you know, the full body massive lenses, you know, the proper DSLR and the mirror things you can go around with that, like, are they easier to use now? They're getting more expensive, so surely that it means that they're trying to price themselves into the level of it, sort of more than enthusiasts, just like the real professional want to do something amazing with photos, and surely that's still that can't come with auto mode, can it? You can't be like given too much helping hand there.
That's true. Yeah, most of the manufacturers are targeting kind of higher end, so that means no easy touchscreen interfaces. They still never managed to make cameras as easy as to use as a phone. Although we did a feature on the Alice camera, which is quite an interesting project, which has tried to do that. But yeah, they're still a bit befuddling to the average person, probably. But
on the other side of that, though, is that I think it's easier now to try to be a photographer, because even on a regular handheld camera, the user interfaces on the menus on these digital cameras, the learning curve is really easy. And also with the level of autofocus we have now, like you have eye detection and animal detection and all this. So I think it's a lot easier to get for even an amateur to get like a nice high quality photo. There is a major difference though between that person and a guy who knows about lighting and composition and just all the different things that it takes to be a professional level photographer. But you get people now that maybe they have an idea of how to shoot something, and they have like an eye for composition, but they suck at everything else, and they're becoming photographers. I mean, there are people like I've worked a lot of photo and video production jobs, and I've seen guys get hired off of Instagram, you know, that they're not considered like professionals, but they're getting professional work because of the stuff they've posted on Instagram. And then also you look at like things like Adobe, you know, editing software for photography or even for video. And, you know, people look like they're cinematographers and everything just by what they, you know, if they have decent, it's almost like if you have half decent editing skills and half decent photo taking or video taking skills, you've got a career. So yeah, I think it's opened up the market to more people to have the opportunity to be photographers or videographers. But again, it's in video, it's, can you really tell a story? And in photography is, can you tell a story via that one photo? What can you do in that photo? So I think it all depends. I mean, on how much time you got and how much money. That's the other thing. It's kind of like the money aspect is, because it's honestly, I think a lot of photography and video is priced way out of the average person's budget.
I mean, I was really looking forward to this podcast where we talk about cameras, because I'll be honest, I know nothing about taking a good photo. I got given an old DSLR by my dad, and the first photo I took was me looking, so I tried to take a picture of the new Apple Watch on my wrist, and it was inside in the lounge, and took a picture, and the background blurred, and it was bright, and it was clear, and I was like, holy shit, this camera is amazing. I've taken the best photo that I've ever taken with it, and I genuinely have never taken one as good since, and I don't know what I did. I used auto mode. Like, it was, I think it was like, you know, like how a dealer will give you like the good stuff to start with to get you in the gateway. And that's it. It's game over. And I'm still, to this day, I got the manual. I tried to learn more about it. I still never managed to work it out since. But I suppose the thing that I've always said when I was reviewing smartphones was, well, the camera's really important because people just like taking pictures. They like looking at pictures. People like photography. And I can't work out whether the amount of computational photography, which is where the phone has got like artificial intelligence to work out what it's looking at, will change the background. You know, the iPhone now will spend about a couple of seconds sometimes after you take a photo preparing your photo, and it will look like a blurry mess of shit, and then suddenly bang, this amazing picture quite often will pop up. It's got, you know, if it's a dark scene with a light background, the two will show perfectly, or it will give you like a great depth perception, all these things. It, like, you just have to press a button and it takes a great photo. And I can't work out whether, like Mark Anthony said, that's, you know, a great inclusive thing that opened up the market, or whether it stopped people from like wanting to learn this art form, which, you know, and there's beauty in photography that I feel like gets lost by just, if I press this part of a screen, I get to take a great photo, job done.
Yeah, I think photography has always been relatively niche kind of pursuit, and I think it's going back that way. So I don't think the arrival of smartphones really changed that. It just gives more people the option of taking what your phone thinks is an objectively good photo. That doesn't mean it's necessarily a good photo creatively. It just means that someone's made all those great decisions for you. But yeah, I don't think it's changed the number of people who want to pick up photography as a hobby, probably. I think that's stayed pretty fairly similar, I think.
Yeah, because I just feel like, you know, if it does it automatically, where's the desire to try harder? But then equally, if it makes it people can see like, oh, if I take a photo, I can get something beautiful and moving, there's a memory, then maybe they will get into it. I don't know. Big question. Does the iPad need a camera? Cherie, yes, no.
Does what need a camera?
The iPad.
What?
The iPad. Does the iPad need a camera?
So the iPad is this device from Apple that's like a big iPhone, like a tablet. And
you're asking me about those things I don't believe in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The iPad has cameras.
Yeah, does it need a camera though? That's the question. Does it need a camera? Do you want stadium experiences where people are trying to take a photo of the action? The fucking 12-inch device.
When I see somebody trying to take a picture with a tablet that is over 7 inches, I want to slap it out of their hands. That is my natural response to that, especially when they're outdoors doing that. What the frick are you doing with a tent holding a 10-inch tablet, trying to position it? No, absolutely not. It absolutely does not need it. Like, if you're using, matter of fact, let me rephrase that. If you're using it for video conferencing, sure. But if you are, if they were to slap a back camera on that thing, I would slap it out of anyone's hands who was trying to use it.
It's funny you say that, but I, as a parent, I've been to, like, you know, kids' graduations, you know, my children's graduations and stuff, and events for them, and I have seen parents break out the iPad to film what's going on. And I'm just like, why are you here? Why don't you buy it?
I have to control my pimp hand. Like, I want to slap it out of their hands. Like, what are you doing? Like, you have, I know you have a smartphone. Like, I know you do. I don't even care if you go back and get one of those disposable Kodaks and just click, 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 click. Like, don't do this. Not like this, Lord. Not like this.
When you click, 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 you have to do the wind on as well, though, so you might miss the moment. It's like, click, click.
I don't care. Better that than the tablet.
Okay. I personally like, does the iPhone need, yeah, I mean, the iPad, yeah, I like the fact that it has a camera. I have one, you know, and it's great for what Cherie said, video conferencing and stuff with, like, my daughter, we video conference.
Front-facing camera's fine.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the front-facing.
I don't think it needs, like, and by the way, like, outside of the front-facing camera, the other camera on the iPad is, I don't think it's that great. It's not even up to the iPhone. It's just not. Yeah. They could lose it, maybe bring down the price, but Apple would never do that. They would just lose the camera and be like, I'm going to charge you an extra $300. Why? No camera.
the iPad Pro, I would say, has a relatively similar camera level, but I kind of think with the Pro, whatever you think about iPad Pros, professionals, they do need a camera for some things. It's useful to, you know, you can take pictures and annotate it. There's more of a reason, basically. I don't necessarily agree with it, nor do I want to see it in front of me at any kind of sporting or outside event, if we can remember those ever. But no, I don't think it needs it. Finally, before we move on to people trends, Mark Wilson, the future of the camera seems to be 8K, probably 16K. I mean, do we need it? Is it smart? I mean, video is obviously the big thing, so...
Yeah. Do we need? No, we don't at the moment need 8K resolution. I think most photographers probably would prefer not to because of all of the problems that brings with storage and overheating. But there's an argument that it's quite useful for if you want to crop into a video.
Who wants to do that? Why do you want to do that?
Gareth, people have lives. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I don't know what you do when you're not typing away everything, like, you know, or when I'm not typing away everything, but it's just people, they want to be able to pull stills from their video. And that's why, you know, there's that. And everybody wants to see all of grandma's wrinkles in their videos, you know, and be like, oh, remember when grandma was 94 and we counted 937 wrinkles on her face? People are crazy like that. Like, it's just weird, but, you know, people are really strange. I think personally, I think like right now there are some 12K professional cameras you'll see. And it's all about the information. That's what all the K's are for. You know, it's about when you're editing in post, it's having all that information that you can manipulate the footage with. That's all it comes down to, really. And I think depending on what, I mean, again, we talk about affordability, even in cell phones, you know, the average person is not going to, you know, drop down $1,500 for a phone, you know, normally, I would guess, like, you know, maybe they'll pay it out over time, but it's like for like a camera. The one thing I will say is, you know, on average, you're getting most cameras now having 4K, which is solid. But it's funny because most television broadcasts, like here in America, they're not in 4K. They're in 1080p still. We're still catching up. In Japan, it's in 4K. Here, it's still 1080p mostly. So that's interesting. And overall, like we use a Blackmagic 6K for a lot of stuff that we shoot here now at laptop. And that information, that 6K information, really helps us. When you downsample to HD, it looks amazing. And I think that's the thing. Yeah. It's affordability, though. And I think for the average person, affordability being the main issue. Right now, I think the future of cameras are like the lower end, actually, of like handhelds, like your entry-level Canon Rs that are coming out, and your Canon some of their older DSLRs that shoot 4K. But the problem is your framing. So people want that full frame or as close to full frame. You know, for me, 35 millimeter framing is perfect. So like, I really love what Blackmagic has done, where they've basically have come up with a line of pocket cinema cameras that allow anybody who can save up over the summer to buy a high quality, you know, cinema camera. And I think that's the future. I think you're going to see more makers. Yeah, they'll have their super high end, but you're also going to get like really high end, affordable cameras.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is because everyone's been stuck at home for a year or so is streaming as well. You can see a lot of manufacturers kind of moving towards live streaming. Panasonic did that with the GH5II recently, and that's quite a good little segue for camera companies because everyone needs to up the quality of their home video if they're working from home or you want to create a YouTube channel. So that's another area that they'll be moving into. Sure.
All right, fine. I think we've covered cameras. Well done, us. If you have any more questions about cameras, you shouldn't, because we've done it all. So go and rethink your desires in life. Right, let's go on to the new news game. It's not new anymore, producer Matt. It's Beeble Trends. So if you haven't been listening and enjoying this immensely, then clearly there's something wrong with you. But what we take is the top eight stories, news stories this week, and I play a game of higher or lower, which is basically we take the keyword from each one, we plug it into Google Trends, and we see which one people are searching for more or less than the previous. So we're going to start off with Amazon Prime Day, which will be taking place this year on June 21st and 22nd. It's emblazoned into the mind of any journalist or editor that runs an affiliate-based website. Off it comes in the next week. That has got 55 on the Google Trendsometer. As we know, 100 is very, very popular. One is super little. Now, which one of these do you think is going to be higher or lower? The next one up is Resident Evil. Resident Evil is the next one up. The Resident Evil Village DLC, Monster Hunter updates, and more have come out from E3 this week. So is Resident Evil more popular or less popular than Amazon Prime Day?
More.
Yeah, more definitely.
Nope, it's 25.
What?
So these results were taken yesterday at 4 p.m. UK time. 11 p.m. 11 a.m. Eastern time. God, I can't even speak. So 11 a.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. UK time. And apparently at that point, Resident Evil was over nearly half as much for 25. Wow. So there you go. Next up is Realme. Realme is a smartphone maker. They've done the GT. It's a snappy little powerhouse, according to TechRadar. It's got lots of lovely features for very little money. It's the new flagship phone. It's called GT, which makes it sound super sexy like a car. Is that more popular, Realme more popular or less popular than Resident Evil?
I'm afraid. It can't be as popular. I mean, it's new. I mean,
I feel like it might be one of those cult brands, so I'm going to say higher.
Cherie, you're the deciding vote.
I would go lower.
Well done. It is lower. It's only three. Nobody gives a shit. So there you go. Three for Realme. Next up, we already mentioned this brand today. It is OnePlus. OnePlus have launched the OnePlus Nord N200 5G launches the cheapest 5G phone yet in the US a few days ago when this came out. Is OnePlus more popular or less popular than Realme? Realme was three on the score sheet.
More popular.
Definitely more popular.
Yeah, gotta be, surely.
Yeah, correct. 20. OnePlus has got 20. But don't forget, it doesn't mean the popularity over the course of all time. It's like, at that moment, were people searching for that? So yeah, 20. So, you know, a fifth as popular as the most popular thing on the internet in that moment. Well done, them. Next up, we've got DJI. The new DJI Mini SE leaks suggest it will be DJI's cheapest drone yet. Why can't I say DJI? DJI's cheapest drone yet. That was a leak. I'm sure, Mark, you had a strong hand in that story, of course. Now, do we think DJI is more popular or less popular than OnePlus?
Mm,
tough one.
Oh, that is a tough one. See, camera nerds are an interesting lot of less. People. Yeah, I would go with less.
I'm going to say higher just because I know DJI stories always do very well.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mark Wilson, you're wrong. It is lower, only six at that point. I'll be honest, sometimes dual trends is just looks like it's just wrong. I think this week we may have some interesting thoughts. With E3 2021 coming up next, E3 has been a big, long show this week where all manner of things have come out. Breath of the Wild, Zelda chats, Nintendo did loads of different things. We've had just reams of games, and there's loads of coverage. Go and have a look at it all. Is E3 2021 more popular or less popular than the six for DJI?
Yeah, definitely more popular.
More popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy one. It was 25, though, only 25. Now, one of those games from E3 2021, you keep give it its full name, is Elden Ring. The game gets a January 2022 release popular. Date. Yeah, I mean, we don't even stop there. It's by far more popular, 44, one of the most popular on this game this week. So finally, the Xbox Series X mini fridge. I don't know if this was Microsoft announcing this was them being in on the joke or making the joke that they don't get the joke even better. But now there's a mini fridge you can buy that's Xbox Series X branded. Xbox X mini Series X mini fridge, is that more popular or less popular than Elden?
Totally less popular. I think that was more of Microsoft like biting off a razor anyway. Razor is like, oh, we'll make a product for anything. Microsoft, we can do that.
It's only got one in terms of popularity. So very low. But we had a story that did incredibly well about the mini fridge. So I don't know if I agree with that finding, if I'm honest. But equally, you got it right. So well done, you. I think you scored 5 there as a group. Well done. That was a really good show. Maybe 6. I didn't count. Well done, me. That's all we have time for this week on the Noise Cancelling Podcast, episode 69. Thank you very much for listening and enjoying it, if you did enjoy it. Cherie, have you enjoyed it, and how can people get in contact with you?
I have enjoyed it. I learned a lot about cameras today and maybe a little bit about myself as a person. If you want to follow me on my journey of self-discovery, trying to be a better person, trying to learn more about myself, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ms. Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. And that is 3 S's, not 4, not 5, not 2, not 1, but 3 S's. And of course, for anything laptop affiliated, actually, you should go to Laptop Man because we have one of the few full hands-on reviews of the Razer Blade 14 that has made a triumphant return from the annals of history on Laptop Mag. For that and tablets, which I don't believe in, and VR headsets and headphones and everything in between, check out my staff at Laptop Mag. And as always, Laptop Then, Laptop Now, and Laptop Forever!
Mark Wilson, have you enjoyed today? How can people get in contact with you?
I have enjoyed today. You can contact me on Twitter at Marky D. Wilson. And yeah, that's it. I'm actually on Instagram. So yeah.
You're not on Instagram and you're a cameraman.
I know. Right. I moved back to Twitter a few years ago. So yeah.
You had there were some racy photos on there and you're like, this is mad.
Yeah. I had to erase my entire account. Yeah.
Mark Anthony, how about you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark A. Ramirez. That's Mark with a K, A. If you don't know what the hell A is, you got a problem. So it's Mark A. Ramirez, R-A-M-I-R-E-Z, at Twitter and Instagram. Oh, and also, don't forget, you should read what I write for laptopmag.com. It's always fun time there. I always sneak in a little joke in there.
You are actually officially a comedy genius. You know, you have the career to back that up, but also in the writing as well. So do indeed check that out, but after you've checked out Tech Radar. So do Tech Radar first. Do the wealth of content. Well, there's a wealth of content on there for you. Like I said, same thing, VR, cameras, laptops, entertainment, gaming. We've done loads of stuff on E3 this week. It's been a lot of fun for that. Amazon Prime Day is coming up. If you want a bargain, that's where you're going to need to come because we've got loads of deals being announced hopefully very soon. What else? You know, phones, tablets, we're big on those. iPads, they're good, apart from the camera bit. But if you want to speak to me, I'm SuperBeeve on Twitter, and Tech Radar is your place to go for all the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook handles, so you can get all your information from there. Thanks again for listening to the Noise Cancelling Podcast, episode 69. If you do want to give us a review, please do so on Apple Podcasts. It helps us listen and find out about all what we do. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Acast, wherever else you get your podcasts, and we'll speak to you all next week for episode 70, where we'll be very tired. Bye.
Bye.
Adios.
Bye.